another day. And I'm tired of this waiting, and I'm tired of this wait. I am anticipating disappointment and debate. You are procrastinating, and I cannot keep it straight. To the Hillary Step number 3 podcast. We had such a great response from the first two that we figured, what the heck, let's do a number 3.
So here we are, and thank you all of you who came out to Don't Tell Mamas for our terrific gigs. It was great to have you there.
Yeah,
and
the shows went really well. Yep. We're really pleased with the turnout.
Yep.
The whole thing was really great, and the response to the new material was terrific. So thanks for being there.
Yep.
And of course, there'll be more gigs coming up soon, and you can find out about those on thehillarystep.com. Of course, there you can also sample the wares of the Hillary Step and listen to the earlier podcasts, all kind of good stuff. So today, we have with us the fella that produced the first Hillary Step record, Knee Deep in Giants, back in, whatever was that, 1999?
98, maybe?
And 1997. We'll get into that later.
Later, yeah.
His name is Ziad Al-Hilal. We affectionately call him Z. Hello, Z.
Hey, Z.
Hello.
Z is here all the way from Canada, which is, if you don't know... That's the part that's up above, like, Maine,
right.
And it's also above New York. It's above a lot of places.
And it's cold. It's a very cold,
cold
territory.
Place.
No, it's not.
Whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, so...
Wow.
Z, what do you do, Z?
I make records, Rob.
Z's a producer. He's a record producer.
Excellent record producer.
And that leads us to the first question of the day. What does a producer do? Because I think a lot of people actually have no idea what the heck a record
is. I have absolutely no idea what
it is. I had no idea when we first made our record. I had no idea what
it was. See, it's the common misconception. Everyone thinks a producer sits there and twiddles knobs.
Right.
But that's the engineer.
That's the engineer. What's the difference between the engineer and the producer?
Engineer is, in a nutshell, engineer is technical, and producer is the creative side.
Okay.
Very good.
So, more specifically, what kind of creative decisions would you say a producer makes?
Well, every producer is different, right? Some just field ideas from the band or the musicians involved and say yes, no, no, yes, right?
Right.
Others will get deep down into the song itself. A lot of producers co-write with the people. So it really depends who you're working with.
What about you? What do you feel is the, what's the way to produce, or what's your way to produce?
Well, I mean, it's been changing and growing, but now I'm getting more into co-writing, and I love that field of it. But it depends what's needed. Every band is different. Every song is different.
Right.
It's sometimes you don't have your own way. So a lot of people won't want input on a song. A lot of people just want you to be, that's great.
Right.
And stroke their ego. So it all depends. Everything's different.
Right.
Here's a question. What's happened to over your time in the business? What do you feel has, like, what are the trends in production that have changed? Like, can you speak to that at all? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess a lot of the trends now, it's just a lot of, don't worry about it. We can fix your mistakes.
Really?
Yeah. So, even 5 years ago, even 5 to 7 years ago, up until that point, bands had to come into the studio and they had to be able to play. They had to be good players. If not, they would get kicked out.
Really?
And a session player would be brought in.
Really?
Yeah, because there was 2-inch tape, and
you can punch in
and that's about it.
We now have some of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you can edit every little single beat that's played by the drummer, and you can fix all the out-of-tune vocals. So I would say that really, it's not so much a trend in production, but it's more in the methods of how it's done.
So are there advantages? That's another question. What are the advantages to the advances in technology?
I don't think there are any.
Really?
I think they harm music, and
Of that.
Absolutely. Like, people, like back in the day, it was all about the song. It was, that was the entire focus. There wasn't a focus on, you know, the quality of the sound. I mean, there was to a degree, but there was limited technology, but all the focus was on the song, the musicians playing in the song.
Those were good days, those too. There were some amazing songs that came out of that, yeah. Right?
And for anyone who wants to know more about that, just watch Standing in the Shadows of Motown.
Yes, great film, great film. Okay, so here's a question, and this you get to brag a little bit for this one. I don't think he wanted to answer this question, but too bad, we're going to ask him because we're taskmasters. What makes you, so we kind of know what you think is a good producer, but what makes you a good producer? Like, what's your strength as a producer?
Wow. Whatever, Diane Sawyer. You know, I don't know. I'm still learning, you know. I'm young, and music is an ever-growing, lifelong endeavor. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm good at helping put together the elements, and a lot of elements in a song and in a record, and I think I'm good at just sort of making them work together.
Yeah.
I'd say for now.
Yeah,
for
I now, definitely feel that way.
Absolutely.
I know for me as a songwriter, when the Hillary Step Mach 1 broke up, things changed a lot for me as a songwriter, but I think I know that one of the things I really learned from you was how to create a part, what a part was,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, I know that when the band was together, a lot of things fought each other. Lots of parts fought each other, you know, that the vocals were being stepped on by the acoustics and all kinds of things. And I know that right after the band broke up, it was pretty soon after that, you and I made this Christian rock album together.
Shush.
We made a Christian rock. What's the name of the band?
I forget.
I don't remember yet.
Some cheesy name.
And we went and we made this Christian rock album together, and it was great. It was really fun. And
of course, we spent most of the time doing other song ideas.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. A lot of what it was sitting and finding guitar parts and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of good, you know, and it taught me so much about, like, a part has to slot in, and that you find that it's like a puzzle piece.
Right, and I can attest to that because you have gotten tons and tons better at that, and you can just whip it out now.
Well, it still takes a lot of time, but I mean, I have such a better understanding of that from you, and I think that's where that's where your strength is. I mean, you really hear music that way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I learned a lot of that from you too, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an amazing time, such an amazing growth period.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, getting to the Hillary Step specifically, here's a fun question. So, well, the background is, you know, we got this record deal. We went to Canada. This was in November of 97, I believe. November of 97. We went to Toronto to record in Phase One Studios in Toronto. And Z, you were the engineer on that record. And later, we ended up redoing the whole thing, and Z produced the record. We just loved Z right away. But what were your impressions day one? We won these idiots. Walking in there.
Just the wackiest bunch of people I had ever seen. Remember, you guys walked in. You walked into the studio and you all sat in a circle and you started playing those crazy comedy games.
Oh God!
Like, you were all like, Rob was the ringleader, and like everyone was just bowling over laughing, and I was in there like just going to these people. I've never met anyone. Or any bunch of people like this, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was.
That was an amazing time. Yeah.
And we made that record that whole month. We spent a month there making that record, and then it was like we went back to fix things up 800,000 times, and that was an incredible experience. What do you remember from the good things that you remember from that experience?
You know what? The best things I remember is just laughing with each one of you guys individually and collectively.
Yeah.
You know, it was really just on a personal level. I mean, but I also remember, like, you know, we always remember Look Straight Up, that song that was done way back then. And just, like, it was so different. Like, I've worked with a lot of different rock bands and, you know, your standard sort of typical stuff that, to me, as I get older now, is really becoming boring. And to see, like, you guys, relatively young, sort of writing a bit more mature music was just really, really, really refreshing for me.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are the two things, just, you know, personally and musically. I just thought, you know, that it was interesting to see such a young band and together not playing so well, but just the a level of songwriting in there that really stood out.
Yeah. So we finished that part of the recording. We were not thrilled with how it came out. So I think it was almost a year later, we went back to Z and said, you know, or you came to us. I think you came to us and said, look, you know, none of us are happy with how that came out.
Right.
I think we should do it again.
Right.
And that led to the next year, really. Yeah,
totally.
Of re-recording the record.
Totally.
And it was done in New York, in Toronto.
Right.
New Jersey,
in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
It was all over the place.
All over the place. Guerrilla record.
But that was with you producing.
Yeah. Right. And borrowing favors from every single person who walked the streets.
Lots of favors.
And that was the addition of songs like Olio and The Only Thing and Coffee in Bed, I believe. Those three were on the new
Coffee
the
in
new
bed.
One. Yeah. So what's the difference? What was it like to work with the Hillary Step then versus working with us now?
More people.
Yeah, certainly a lot more people.
No, it was just, very different because there was four more other people really to cater to and try to please, which was great at the time. But now the palette is wide open.
Yeah.
It's
much more collaborative.
It's just much more collaborative now. I just don't feel, as I know you guys don't, we're not tied to anything. The palette is wide open.
Right.
And there's a sense of freedom in that.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you, what do you feel how do you feel the songs are different now? Do you, are there ways that you can see differences in that?
Absolutely. Just, I think they're not, well, mainly, I just say they're written better to begin with.
In what way? See, and that's an interesting thing to me, like, tie that in with the way that you see, as a producer, the way you see a structure of a song, you know, like, how do you...
Well, I mean, I would say just melodically, to me, they're making better sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd agree with that, but I...
Are there any songs, current songs that makes, that jump out to you?
In Your Eyes.
In Your Eyes, yeah.
Which is going to be our next record.
That'll be on the next record, yeah.
I think All I've Got... Like, I don't think that song would exist back, you know, 2-3 years ago. I don't think there was the sense of freedom to even explore something like that.
Right.
The same with In Your Eyes. It that would have just been a little side thing.
Yeah.
And just a wider, I think there's just a wider, rounded sort of pool of influences to draw on this. It's not all acoustic guitar based, and the things aren't added after the fact just to meet the acoustic guitar. I think we're tying in the acoustic guitar to the voice more so than before.
Right.
And more so to the other instruments, and probably in a weird way it'll seem like there's a little less of it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right, which was actually incredible, because today we were trying to record this, but so you all could hear it, but we sat for about an hour just working out, spacing out the acoustic guitar versus a line in the song In Your Eyes.
A vocal line.
And it was really just incredible, all the detail.
Yeah,
let's
talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
So there was an acoustic guitar line. And for those of you that are listening that want to try to figure this one out, the tuning is fourth, capo in the fourth fret. And the tuning is D, A, D, G, C, D.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. So there was a melody, the melody line of the guitar kind of went. So, and then the melody on top of that vocally went. I can see a thousand mornings, thousand suns in half-light rise. And, first of all, when you first heard that song, what'd you think? You loved it.
Well, I loved it from day one.
But that was a section that bothered you.
Yes.
So tell our listeners what bothered you about that?
Well, your example there too also was a little sparser than original because you were finger picking it and your thumb was also
continuing. My thumb was all over it, yeah. It was more like
just a lot more notes. Well, basically, I mean, once you played that song to me, I had to learn it from you, and then I had to think about it literally for about, I think it was about 2 months.
Yeah.
Really.
Totally.
You know, and I realized how hard it is to play and sing together, and then I started to break it down and go, why? And then I started to realize, you know, Rob's a freaking genius, but other than that, it was just the timing of where the vocal falls with the sort of keynotes in the acoustic guitar phrase were pushing and pulling together, like the key moments they wouldn't hit together and they were just slightly off, so you would get like a push-pull feeling,
right?
And you didn't know sort of where to, if you were trying to bob your head to it and just sort of sit there and do that, it was a little confusing and you couldn't get that sense of feeling.
Right.
And with such an airy and beautiful song, the tighter you
get
the
airy.
Not Aryan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm sure you could have airy and beautiful something.
Or a beautiful airy.
This is airy. Airy.
Yes. Anyways.
I thought I said hairy.
Hairy. It's a hairy and beautiful song.
Yeah. In any event.
Yeah, but the tighter you get the things together, the more sense of space starts to develop and open up, and the clearer it all becomes.
Right, we had the second line of the melody. Let's see, it's, I can see a thousand mornings. The thousand, the second syllable of thousand sort of falls on the beat, whereas the guitar part, that didn't fall on the beat, so it's...
It was earlier.
I can see a thousand, that was jumping, a thousand. So we wouldn't mind that in the first half of that the things weren't necessarily falling together, but in the second half it really felt like they had to.
Yeah.
So we now change the guitar part a bit so that those two notes fall together. And that's really the kind of stuff that Z does so brilliantly. I mean,
because he can hear it.
He
something that...
And he hears that those two things aren't quite falling together. And all of it, and you know, you don't even recognize necessarily that that's... When you're writing a song, it doesn't even necessarily register to you.
Right.
But as a producer, he puts that together, and all of a sudden, the whole thing opens up, and it feels like it has space, and you can hear everything, and it's the puzzle. It's the puzzle pieces.
And these are things we really didn't have the luxury or time to sort of go after and chase down when doing Knee Deep in Giants.
Right,
right.
And this time, I think we're sort of keeping it a main focus.
Right. But the one, because Olio came after the fact, because Olio came later on in the second go-around, that one had a little more attention put to it.
Right.
What do you remember about that song?
I remember almost being done the record, and then you coming with the, I think it was the verse and chorus, and just going, all right, well, we've got to...
add that one in.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Thanks for more work. We had to put it on the record. It was such a nice song and such a personal song.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it just, you know, when a song strikes a chord in the writer, it generally will strike a chord in the listener. And I think it did for all of us.
Yeah.
And we just had to do it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I remember. And then I remember just loving it because it had these weird moments that, I mean, there's so many things that you normally wouldn't do in that song if you were trying to do a pop song, you know, like the weird breakdown with the synth lead line. But those are all sort of beautiful moments that I
and the bazooki, the use of the bazooki.
Yeah.
The bazooki. That was a funny story. We were in New Hampshire recording vocals, I think, and the guy who owned the studio owns a lot of ethnic instruments and happened to have this bazooki sitting there, which is like a Greek guitar. And I remember I picked it up and played like for 30 seconds, and I just was like, I have to own this. I'm going to learn it and become a brilliant bazooki player. And I think then I bought it, you know, I brought it, we recorded it on the record, and then I brought it on. I don't think I've played it since, but you know, but it had to get onto Olio. So
right?
It did.
It was worth it.
It was worth it.
And since then, the same thing just happened recently. There's the new Paul McCartney album, Chaos and Creation in the Backyard, has a song out called Jenny Wren. And right in the middle of it, this beautiful, like, reed instrument comes in. Is it a reed instrument?
We think so, yes.
A woodwind. It's a woodwind.
It's a reed.
It is.
So, called a Duduk, and it's so beautiful, so I bought the Duduk. But I didn't buy it from Duduk.com. I tried to, but they were jerks. So don't shop at Duduk.com.
Forget Duduk.com.
Screw them.
And just so you know, Duduk is spelled D-U-D-U-K.
D-U-D-U-K, right.
Yeah, Duduk.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. Wrapping it up, the main plan now is we've started working on this new record, and tentatively right now the title of the album is Note to Self.
Note to Self.
Believe it or not, people, it's going to be a double album. Why is it going to be a double album, Z? How did that happen?
That's a long, crazy question. We just had too many songs. Like, there were so many songs, and they were very different.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
You know, right? it was just the difference, and there was some really soft, sort of, you know, acoustic, beautiful, sweet songs that really deserve some attention, but, you know, could really alienate the listener. And some were just good old rockin' songs. So we just decided that there were enough to do one side of a more elaborate guitar, drum, bass, sort of upbeat record, and the B-side record too will just be all acoustic and vocals with some sort of nice string arrangements. I'm sure the Duduk is going to make an appearance.
Oh, yeah.
But not Duduk.com.
No.
Note to Self is the name of the upcoming album. Love to say that it'll be out sometime in 2006, but who knows? And we tentatively have called, we're going to call the more rockin' side whole steps, and the more mellow side half steps. John came up with that. Isn't that clever? Like Hiller Step, get it? You understand? Anyway. So Z, what are your hopes for that record? What are you hoping for?
I just think we, simple really, we just have to walk away with it and just be absolutely 100% happy with it ourselves, and that's and that's it. No. That's all I hope for.
Me great. Too.
Because I think if, as long as we're happy, fully happy, then other people, I'm sure, will like it as well.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Z, thanks for being here with us today. It's really nice to have you.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you guys for listening. We'll have another one coming up soon.
Yep.
And make sure to keep checking in on thehillarystep.com. Have a lovely afternoon, and we'll cap this podcast off with Olio, so take a listen.
And if there's any Duduk players out there, please contact the Hillary staff.
Come and fill up my room, I'm waiting here tonight. Prove to me that you're the one turns on every light. Cure my every illness and cauterize my wound. 'Cause I'm sitting here and waiting for the miracle of you. Seems like only yesterday I had a place to go. I'd ride thousand times in banks of fallen snow, and wait outside her window and listen for a voice, and wrestle with my conscience like I even had a choice. Oh, Leo, oh, Leo, oh, Leo. Thank you. divine, and I'll be just fine. I should believe. Am I supposed to thank the heavens that I'm left behind to grieve? And if you're ever present, and if you do exist, then take away my memory so I